to Eat Drink Social. My name is Courtney Sandora, and throughout this podcast series, you'll be hearing from myself and the Go Social team. Go Social is a PR and social media marketing firm with offices in Denver, Colorado, and Louisville, Kentucky. We'll be discussing social media trends and influencer best practices in the food and beverage landscape. If you have any questions and want to reach out, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Go Social, or you can visit our website at goforthbesocial.com.
Hello and welcome to Eat Drink Social. Today we are joined with Tracy Franklin, better known as Spirited Tracy on social media. She's based in Washington, D.C. and is a whiskey educator, public speaker, consultant, and distiller. In her previous life, she traveled the world performing in theater productions and now uses those skills to share her passion for whiskey with a diverse group. Welcome, Tracy. We are so excited to have you today.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Yes, thank you. And we can just jump right in here. Just to get us started, could you just tell me a little bit about yourself and how you found your passion for whiskey?
Absolutely. I've been really lucky that I've been able to do a lot of things that I've loved throughout my life. We were a military family, so my father did travel a lot. But every time he traveled, he tried to bring home some of the flavors and cuisines of the places that he had visited. So we grew up in a household that was very experimental with food and always in pursuit of amazing flavor. So I actually, when I went to college, I actually studied theater. And I immediately started working, and I actually toured the world singing and dancing. And while I was doing that, I always tried to find like the best foods, the most local things I could try. And so that's always been a really important part of my life. And as a singer, actually, this voice that you guys are hearing right now, this is not just a sexy rasp. This is what happens when Tracy drinks more than just whiskey. So as a singer, I realized that when I sang whiskey, my voice was okay in the morning still. I could still sing. And so I was like, okay, cool. I've got my drink of choice now. So I would, you know, sit up at the bar and find whiskeys. And I started out with with peated whiskey, which is a very smoky, sometimes overpowering flavors in a Scotch whiskey. And the reason I think that that really sat with me was because, again, it was a flavor I'd never experienced. It was something overwhelming and like almost a visceral reaction. And I was so excited about that. And that's really how I dove into whiskey. And then as I started to realize there were whiskeys that were incredibly delicate, creamy, warm, like vivacious, like every descriptive word I could find, I could apply to some sort of whiskey. So I loved it, but I realized there weren't a lot of other people that were young, that were queer, that were people of color, that were in these whiskey classes and things that I was taking. So I worked with a friend of mine named Jennifer Wren. She and I decided we could create a whiskey marketing company. So we started actually holding events for different, for people that were fun, that were educational and entertaining. And that's really what sparked this whole, I don't know, mission to change the face of whiskey and to make whiskey inclusive. And so I still love it. I'm studying intensely to finish up my diploma in distillation because I'm a nerd and I went down the rabbit hole. But I also try to be very approachable and to make sure that what I am sharing online or what I'm sharing in person at tastings is very accessible.
Yes, that's so amazing. And I love, you know, that's such a unique way to find your passion into whiskey. And I feel like it, you see that in your content and the things that you create and put out into the world.
Thank you.
Just speaking of social media, how did you get your launch into social media as a creator and a whiskey expert?
Well, I mean, I started actually I'd had social media before, but with Glenfiddich, they kind of started to give us some more touch points, like give us pointers on how to do things a little bit better, how to be more cohesive, they tried to help us expand our reach on social media. So I think that was the first time I started paying attention to it, that it could really be a tool. And so with Glenfiddich, it was much more, what was great was they didn't tell me I couldn't talk about other things. They didn't say you can only talk about Glenfiddich as a whiskey. So there were opportunities to talk about new things that were coming out from other brands or friends who were with other brands. But they were really open to us just sharing who we were, what we were online.
Yeah.
And once, yeah, with, right. Cause you don't always expect that. So I was really excited. And it gave me the ability to really learn more, right? If I'm going to be a whiskey expert, I've got to know the category and be able to speak to the entire category. And I think that they really understood that. So once I left Glenfiddich, I was just like, wow, I can do anything in the world. And it got a little weird there, I would say. It was COVID and I didn't know what I was doing, but I think, and I still don't know what I'm doing, guys, BT dubs. But I think that I'm getting much more clear about who I am and what my message is. And it really is just that whiskey is fun. Not just whiskey, just like all spirits. There's so much to learn. And so I've kind of been like sometimes a little overwhelmed with like, I want to share all of these things that I am learning and give those all away. But I'm trying to get more organized. And right now, really, as a creator, I'm trying to really focus in on like what is important, what do people need and want to learn. So really listening to the people that are supporting me and who do write and send little questions in the background. I want to be responsive to that. So that's because that's the only reason I'm here, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned like really wanting to focus on diversity and inclusion yes. in the whiskey industry. How have you seen the whiskey industry change over the years, especially with diversity and inclusion in mind?
Yes, absolutely. So it's been incredible. It's funny though, because, you know, I was that person that was just like really frustrated because people weren't taking me seriously. They just would ask silly questions like, do you even drink whiskey? Do you like whiskey? Are you just here because you're pretty? Like really offensive things sometimes. And it just didn't feel like a group that I wanted to be a part of when I was getting those questions. But what was weird about it was that was just the people that were drinking it. Those were the people that thought that this had to be a private exclusive club. Mm-hmm. Everybody that made it, everybody that represented it, that sold it, that talked about it was exactly the opposite and was so excited to be able to bring diverse people into the category. So I've really seen a large difference that the brands have made a concerted effort to not just in their advertising, but actually in their staff, hire people of diverse race, sexuality, color, whatever it may be, whatever it may be, I'm seeing it. And it's also amazing that somehow I've also become part of that wave, right? Like, so because I've been so visible, I'm part of what's making this acceptable. So I'm very excited to see so many women recognized. Women have always been in the industry and really seeing them recognized and put in positions where they are very visible. And I think we've got more work to do with people of color, with queer representation. But I think that's all happening. And it's just up to us to make sure that we keep everybody accountable.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, we are seeing that shift where, you know, everyone has a voice now and it's so yes. incredibly important.
Yes.
And, you know, I know you touched on it a little bit where you've seen the whiskey industry gone, but do you think there are any trends or anything in the future that you think is up and coming?
Well, just like in whiskey as on its own, like,
yeah, like the whiskey spirits industry in general. Yeah,
so I definitely, I'm super excited about is that we're still waiting on TTB, but the American single malt category is going to be huge. I think it's a really great way that we can individualize this particular grain of the United States, which is grown in so many different places and also treated differently. So very excited to see how that's going to go. We've all been seeing a lot of the finishes and things like that, but I think the next step is going to be really people creating their own blends. So I think bringing blended whiskey back from what it was, because blended whiskey can have quite a high percentage of neutral grain spirits. So that's what actually makes a lot of people like not want to actually drink it. But we're starting to actually have some blends that are, you know, fully high quality whiskeys that are just put together to taste really good. So I'm excited about that trend as well. And that's also just highlighting a bunch of craft distilleries. So we've got more independent bottlers that are happening. So people who don't make the whiskey, but go to small distilleries and then pick private barrels and release them as an independent bottling. So different than single barrel in that it's people that are under one umbrella. One company is creating all of these really wonderful either blends or single cask releases from distilleries you may not have heard of. So
yes,
those are three trends I like.
It's so exciting to see, you know, just how much the whiskey industry changes and shapes all the time. Yes. And it's really cool to get to be a part of that.
I agree.
And, you know, just going back to the importance of diversity in the whiskey industry or spirits industry in general, how do you see that the industry can become more inclusive or is becoming more inclusive? You know, just kind of touching on those points.
Yeah, well, I think what's happened is people have kind of are now starting to understand why it's stayed so segregated. And then a lot of that has just been access to information, access to pathways into the industry. Because often it was that if you worked in the industry, you worked in the industry because your parents did, your uncles did, your aunts did, you know, so people just, it's a generational thing. It's a really good job to have, typically union or things of that sort where they pay well. So those jobs you want to kind of keep going on in your communities. Mm-hmm. But by doing that, we weren't really creating pathways for people who weren't already connected into those communities. So I think that's really something that we're starting to look at. and creating educational opportunities, internships that are paid, and just other ways for people to really start to join into this industry in a way that's going to be fulfilling for them as well. So also understanding you don't have to be a blender. You can be an accountant. You can be a lawyer. You can be a sec. You can do whatever you want. There's so many different types of jobs in this industry. And I think us getting the message out that you can come with a skill set that you already have and probably grow into a new position or even just grow in that role, I think that's also been really important.
Yes, I definitely think it just goes to prove that anyone can be part of the whiskey industry. Anyone yes. can love whiskey and have a passion for it. And I love seeing the industry move in that direction.
Yes, thank you.
And, you know, just talking about whiskey, is there a whiskey or a spirit that you've reviewed that has been one of your top favorites or one that you found really interesting?
You know, this is always so hard for me just because I drink so much and I enjoy them all for like very specific reasons. Okay. But I had a Westland whiskey that was made by, so Jack Rose is here in DC. It is one of the largest whiskey bars in the world. And I'm very lucky that it's like my neighborhood bar. And so they did a Westland American single malt that was finished in a mezcal cask. And that was super vibrant and vegetal and creamy and zesty. It was so weird that I just loved it because it was so weird, right? I think that the biggest bargain on the market right now is George Dickel bottled and bond at 13 years and like $50.
Wow.
Like it's a killer. Like that, I guess I should stop talking about it because now everybody's going to keep getting it. I keep saying the bottles. I'm like, but really, it's such a great bottle. And Nicole Austin has really reimagined George Dickel as a brand and has really, I think, elevated its status and the quality of those liquids. So super excited to see what she's doing. What else have I had recently? This is a hard question. Oh, I think Blue Run is doing some really great work. Bardstown Bourbon, Wilderness Trail, all of these guys that are just getting like bought out. And they are doing a lot of contract distilling, but they're both of their distilleries are so high tech that they're really able to, from the very beginning, create an incredibly high quality spirit. And that's been something that's been really amazing to see as kind of the new innovative distilleries versus like the older, you know, makers, Jim Beam and those yes. guys, and how those whiskeys are both kind of in maturing and coming into market and the differences in those flavors. So I don't know. I'm having a lot of time with a lot of whiskeys.
Yeah, I feel like there's just so many good whiskeys out there.
There really are.
Just yeah. finding different notes to taste and yes. distillers to try bourbons or whiskeys from is just such an exciting aspect of this industry. And
ever expanding. Like it just keeps getting bigger.
Yes, absolutely. There's new expressions coming out constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just going back a little bit to your social media channels, do you have any tips for how you create content or for anyone else who maybe might be trying to get into this industry with whiskey and social media?
Yeah, that's funny because I don't know that I would be a good person to give you any information. I feel like I'm not as clear as I think, like, right, because I'm doing so many other things. My goal is to just be able to kind of also share who I am, share what I'm learning and share, you know, think just like my everyday sort of struggles or achievements. But I also have like a phone full of videos that I just haven't put together into reels that just sit. And I've got all these amazing pictures that I was like, oh, I could do like a photo dump thing. I don't have to put them in an organized thing. But I think what I am working on, so tip for myself, is possibly just being very clear about what you want to do each day. So that's one thing that we've started working on is like, I'm doing two reels. I have one like picture post and then I have stories and which are my jokes, my spirited shenanigans, dad jokes. And then I do facts and I do a quiz on the weekend. So it's a very full schedule, but it's something that is, I'm starting to plan ahead of time to give myself a little bit of breathing room. So I still have all of these things ready to go, but it doesn't feel canned. Like it's still things that are really important to me. And then when I want to, I can just like sort of move one aside and instead put in, okay, cool. I went to Colorado. Let's put in that video instead. Or my birthday was on Wednesday. So I was like, I want to post a birthday post. So I moved, you know, what was scheduled for that day to just say thank you instead. And yeah, totally worth it. And I really enjoy it. Yeah. Yes. But I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of really great tips because I'm still learning. Like it's still new for me.
Yes. And the social media industry is forever changing and evolving. So I think it's great that you are willing to, you know, try those different things and
yes.
you know, stay authentic to who you are in the process as well.
Well, that's been a really important thing because I have like a video I was making and I left in like like a blooper kind of thing like that. I could have just, you know, take out that for a second. And I try not to over edit because I want people to know I'm not perfect by any means. You know, I'm giving you exactly how I am. Like, this is my personality. I'm big, I'm bold, and I mess up, you know, like,
Yes, exactly.
so yeah, like really embracing that that's who I am. And I think that also makes me much more approachable too. I
Yes,
hope.
absolutely. And, you know, on your Instagram alone, you're nearly at over 10K followers.
Almost. I'm so close. I want it.
Yes. Do you have any tips, like, as you've grown your channel for like other creators who might be trying to grow their social media presence?
Well, you know, what's been really interesting is that this is, I really wanted, like at the beginning, like I saw so many people, so many of my friends that like bought followers and I just felt dirty about it. I just couldn't do it. And I sometimes wish I had, because like right now I'd be at 10 if I just bought like 2,000, you know, but I didn't. And honestly, there's a pride in knowing that every single person that's on there has done that on their own. Like I can't say that there's anything that I've done in particular that that has helped me boost, but I know this consistency recently has definitely started helped. The growth has been much more steady than it has before. So I think maybe, and that's what, honestly, everybody tells me that consistency is key, but I'm also like the worst at consistency. but it has actually helped. It definitely has. I've seen the numbers growing for sure. I think also really listening to what people are. So I have a lot of comments because so much of my stuff is like jokes and quizzes. And so it's a lot of things I want people to interact with. So I hope that that also makes people feel like they can speak to me and like request things. So I get requests for specific cocktails, or someone will reach out and say like, hey, can you try my whiskey? And like, I really enjoy being able to interact. And I think that that's what also helps me grow followers is they know I'm there, I'm listening, and I will hopefully put up something that's valuable for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just on your page, how do you choose which brands you work with? I know you said you interact, you know, with your followers a lot and listen to them and what they have to say. Do you take like requests from them or do brands come to you?
Oh, both, right? So some of the brands will reach out to me and want to create something in particular. Some people will randomly reach out in the behind the scenes and ask for like, hey, I'm looking for bottles that are this kind of thing. Do you have any recommendations? So that was like the biggest thing in the holidays when people were like, I have no. So I was like, okay, great. Under 50 and under 100. Like, this is typically what people were asking for. Also, sometimes I just want to shine a light on some on brands that kind of, I don't know, surprise me or doing something unique technically or just with their mission, their passion for the industry. Sometimes I just want to get the word out for about people doing wonderful things. So that's honestly, I just try to pick people that I feel in alignment with, whether or not it's somebody that's reached out to me or not. Like, I just want to make sure that I'm working with people that I enjoy and that I want to put my name behind.
Yes, I love that. And as for your channel, what do you envision as the future of, you know, your social channels, your whiskey education, your distilling?
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know. It's funny because this is what we're kind of talking about now is what does this turn into? So I love teaching. And so I'm hoping that people will be able to see that from my social media, that I'd also be great to hire for in-person events. And like, that's really what I feel like I shine at. However, I realized that so many people are getting access to these tips and tricks and just all of these wonderful sensory notes and whiskey tastings from like social, like it's really actually more impactful almost being on social media. So being able to make sure that I'm always a place someone can go where they want to learn just a little bit more. So I think it's going to be helpful. I'll probably need to open up to like YouTube to do a bit more long form. So I can give a little bit more education, more explanation of the things that I'm broaching on Instagram. And I also want to maybe start a monthly membership where we do maybe a bottle every quarter or every month, and then have a Zoom tasting or something that I lead with kind of the people that are part of my whiskey club. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely can't wait to keep following along on your whiskey journey.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And as you know, we start to come to the end of, you know, the questions I have ready today. We are trying something new and we're going to do just a quick speed round of questions. You can just say what first thing that comes to your mind and then we will wrap it up after that.
Thanks.
So just getting just started right here. What is your go-to cocktail?
Rye Manhattan has been my go-to recently. Yeah. Up.
Do you prefer on the rocks or neat?
Neat. Well, okay. Cocktail, neat, up. If I'm just having whiskey, do I prefer on the rocks or neat? Neat. with rocks on the side. And I'll typically add like one cube unless I have my water dropper with me. And then I add water.
And do you
I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I get it. Do you prefer a garnish or no garnish with your drinks?
I only have a garnish if it is high quality and I'm going to actually consume it. So if I get a really beautiful brandied cherry, yes. If you have the orange and you're just doing the oils, just put it in the trash. I don't need that.
What is your favorite whiskey of all time?
Golly. So it's not going to be it's not necessarily my favorite whiskey of all time. It's just, I got to drink history and that I was able to drink the Glenfiddich 50-year-old and like hold a whole class on that. And the way the vibrancy that was in that bottle at 50 was spectacular and something I will never forget. It was just a really, really memorable moment to be able, being able to drink something that was like putting cask before the hula hoop was invented. It was kind of cool.
I mean, that's very cool. That's so exciting. Yeah. And name your top three qualities for when you are choosing a whiskey for yourself.
So for myself, what are my top three? So I love to know where this was created. So I love when distilleries are like either farmer distillers, so they're growing their crops nearby, or they're focused on a specific heirloom. So for me, grain is really important. It provides so much flavor and just a unique aspect for us. And I think farmers are really important. So that's a way to support farmers. So I'm looking at the grains. I do love malt whiskey. So like single malts of any sort tend to have a little bit high. Like I tend to go for those first. However, I'm also, I do like rye, I love bourbon. So those, when I'm looking at ryes and bourbons, I'm very much focused on, are they bringing in something unique, like heirloomy? And then honestly, for me, proof is one of those things where like I can go any way, but I tend to want it to be just around 100. That's usually my sweet spot.
Awesome. Yeah. And are there any whiskey brands that you haven't tried that you would like to try?
Gosh, there's a bunch, but they're all teeny tiny. And so I'm reaching out to kind of get some little samples because I really want to learn what's happening in some of the smaller places in the United States, especially in sort of like middle America, where there is so much amazing farming happening and people are starting to get their hands on really cool grains. I want to try trying some of these smaller distilleries and just understanding like what people are doing with like hands-on, you know, as they're learning to distill and like really being a part of that community has been amazing. So yeah. So big brands, I love you, but I'm really looking at what the craft guys are doing. I think that's where a lot of our innovation and flavor is going to come.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And that was my last question that I had for today. I just wanted to thank you so much again for taking the time to sit down and talk with me. And I just wanted to go ahead and just plug your socials again.
Thank you.
So you can find Tracy on social media at Spirited Tracy. You should definitely go give her a follow. She has wonderful content and I really appreciate you taking the time again to sit down.
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely been my pleasure. And do you remember that is Spirited Tracy with an IE?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
No, but thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for everyone that's listening. I hope that this has inspired you maybe to start your whiskey journey or continue down your whiskey journey. That's all I want. Just know that you've got a community that is here and supportive and wants you to, that you belong here. So cheers.
All right, everybody. That wraps up today's episode of Eat, Drink, Social. Thanks for listening. If you have a story to share or know somebody that does, feel free to reach out to us.